This film has been formatted to fit this screen and edited to run in the time allotted and for content. A sculpture of a rogue woman holding a torch on top of a pedestal appears against the background of blue sky and some black clouds. A glow of white light shines from the torch while the god appears. On a country road, a U.S. mail truck pulls up to a family of five standing by its mailbox.
I think this might be it, Paul. Good luck.
Thanks. Oh, boy. It sure is thick.
The father hands his teenage son a mail packet to open.
I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Thank you.
Your brother's smart. He's smart. Are you as smart as your brother? I think so.
Later, a celebration in their house.
We are so proud of you. A full scholarship.
Plus a meal plan.
Dad cuts the cake.
First one ever in our family. Of course, the kid was reading Archie at one.
Hey, hey, that's for Paul. Hey, hey.
Paul enters his dad's shop.
Hey.
You all packed?
Yep. Can I give you a hand?
Yeah, wiggle that tail section for me just a scotch, will you? Don't know what I'm gonna do around here without my wingman.
Oh, I'll be back. As soon as they catch on to me.
Yeah, what have they got to catch on to?
Well, it's a tough school, and everyone else will be more used to the city. Did you know that one skyscraper has more people than the entire town of Claremont? And they're all real sophisticated, too. You've seen that Seinfeld show, right? It's just like that. They've all got that sarcastic kind of humor.
And who was purported to be the funniest kid at Jackson High? I mean, you told me a joke the other day. It was hilarious. A frayed knot.
String. Walks into the
wants
bar.
A drink. Yeah, 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 that was funny. You're a funny guy.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's such a giant city. How can you possibly meet anyone?
You want the secret to making friends?
Sure.
I picked this up in the service. You will have a lot of buddies if you remember this one rule. Interested is interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, everybody's got a story, okay? And all they want is for somebody to listen to it. People are basically good. If you care about them, they're going to want to be your friend. All you got to do is look at those people. Look when you're talking to someone. That's it. That's it. Look them in the eye. Focus. Hear their story. Hear what they've got to say. You do that, buddy, and you can do no wrong.
Yeah. Thanks.
Wiggle that. Will you?
Titles over scenes of New York City and Paul settling in at NYU. Columbia Pictures presents an Amy Heckerling film, Loser, starring Jason Biggs.
Do you want to sit in my seat? Have my seat.
Hey,
that was for her.
I have a dream about
Mina Suvari.
She rings my bell. I got gym class in heaven.
Zach Orr.
Oh, how she rocks in kids and
Tom Sadowski.
But she
you look familiar.
Jimmy Simpson.
Troll Drip.
That would be me.
Hi. I'm Paul.
And Greg Kinnear.
Abnormal Psych.
Huh? Casting by Lynn Kressel.
We're in the same class.
Executive producer John M. Eckert.
See you there.
Pushing.
Costume designer Mona May. Music supervisor Elliot Lurie. Music by David Kate.
Hey guys, can it go over there?
No.
Oh!
Hey!
Oh. Edited by Deborah Chiaki. Production designer, Stephen Jordan.
He doesn't know.
Good afternoon. Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Director of photography, Rob Hand.
Yeah.
Let me try that one again.
No, man, that's good. Don't worry.
Yeah.
See you later.
Produced by Amy Heckerling and Twink Kaplan. Written and directed by Amy Heckerling. Now, Paul rides an elevator up to his dorm room.
Hey, guys.
That is a great hat. Did the producers of Fargo have a garage sale?
Leave it be.
Oh, here, leave it be. Leave it be. Leave it be.
Yes, we're leaving this be. Oh, hey, that fraternity called for you.
Which one? Which one was it?
At Gamma.
Oh, it was
Gamma
Delta Pi.
Gamma Delta Pi.
No, wait, it was Gamma Globulin. Actually, it wasn't a fraternity at all. It was a blood bank. But hey, they were really interested in you.
They love you. It was a blood bank.
A classroom.
The Hunger Artist. It's the story of a performer who fasts as a form of entertainment. Sits in a cage all day long, and this is how he manages to entertain his audiences. But with his dying breath, he reveals his great secret that he could never actually find any food.
Bob enters and falls down the stairs.
I meant that.
Jerry Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, you mind if I continue with Mr. Kafka's story?
Now, Kafka got a full-time
job at an
insurance
company.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Looks like you banged your knee pretty bad.
No, I'm fine.
Let's put some ice on it.
Express his point. What was Mr. Kafka saying about free will versus destiny? Anyone in the entire class of 167 students all paying $35,000 a year to be here? You, lady in the infantry?
I didn't read it yet.
I understand that. Didn't get around to reading that. You had Ben Affleck's on the Leno show last night, right? Great stuff. Witty banter. Looking forward to the movie. Listen, perhaps in the not-too-distant future, there'll be a course on 21st century literature. But until that glorious day, this is still the easiest humanities course you can take.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, people, those rectangular slabs you're using as doorstops, they're books. Careful. First time you open them, they're going to crack a little. Don't be alarmed. Florence Nightingale, what was Kafka saying about free will versus destiny?
I don't think it's about free will versus destiny.
You don't? Would you mind telling us what it is about?
Well, sometimes you're so powerless that the only thing you can control is how little you can live on.
Interesting. You've managed to reduce the father of modern literature into an anorexic teenage girl.
The professor's office.
You just love humiliating me, don't you?
Dora, I've told you before, I'm not going to have one of those I know and you know and we know and they don't know arguments in front of my class. We've agreed that if we're going to do this, it's got to be secret.
Right. I know how ashamed you are of me. I'm just your dirty little secret.
Secret means clandestine. Shame means embarrassed. I think you would have covered that in junior high.
Could you stop treating me like a baby? Why don't you take me seriously?
I'm risking my job to be with you. Is that serious enough for
you? What are you talking about? I mean, I'm over 18. It's not like you're selling me alcohol.
Do you know Professor Brown?
No.
No?
No!
Oh, of course not, because he lost his tenure for having an affair with a student. The board considers that taking advantage of the power we have over impressionable minds. Now, I could tell them how unimpressionable and pig-headed you are.
You know, you are so condescending! If I'm not smart enough for you, then why don't you go smart enough? Professor,
I didn't say you weren't smart enough, but your capacity to edit out ideas you don't like would make TASS look like an Al Goldstein publication.
You think I know anything?
Think you know how to walk in a pair of platform Mary Janes? I think you know how to style your hair with an egg beater. Save a little time by layering on 2-3 weeks worth of eyeliner.
Honey, hate you.
You don't hate me.
Let me go. Yes, I do. Let me go.
Say
you
don't hate me.
In their living room, Paul's roomies sit at a coffee table while watching.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Ben.
Hi there, son-in-law.
Hey, we're ordering Zaz. Slap me a big head.
Oh. Well, see, the thing is, I've got the descending dollars meal plan, so I already ate at the Union, and I have $120, but it has to last till the end of this.
Adam walks away as Paul is talking.
Sorry.
Chris turns up the music.
Chris, do you think you could turn it down just a scotch?
Scotch?
And all the girls
what the hell is that?
Just four. A little?
Guy.
Chris adds his enthusiastic in front of Paul, slapping his back arm to the rhythm with a big grin.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he thinks...
I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to be for your own good, okay? Okay. No one likes you.
Paul's smile fades as he stares at Chris.
They don't? No. You didn't notice? No. What did I do? Why doesn't anybody...
Oh, I don't know. I mean... You talk weird, and your clothes are lame. And I mean, you never come in with, like, a sixer, man. You're just this wormy little guy who sits in his room and studies. It's so gay.
But I'm on a Regent scholarship. I mean, if I do badly, they'll kick me out. And I'm not like you guys. I mean, you can just drink all night and still pass. You must be really intelligent.
No, believe me, we're not. Look, you gotta play it smart. Okay? Take a few Mickeys.
Mickey's?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. You know, cake, easy classes.
Well, I have to take my prerequisites.
Well, okay, I mean, take whatever you want. Just try not to be so much like, you. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just trying to help.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. What's a sixer?
It's a six-pack.
Here.
Paul watches as Chris returns to the party in the other room, then gets up, closing his boots. Neil invites Paul to get a scheduled play a go-go dancer at the local college pub. Seductively dressed, waitresses tend to customers. Doris sits in a black bra doing her homework. She is pretty with big eyes and blonde hair, casually gathered atop her head.
Excuse me. Come here, please.
What can I get you?
Your panty hose.
How about a screwdriver? They're really good here.
I'll give you $50 for it.
You know, you can get 3 for $10 at Walmart.
$60.
Please order a drink, mister. Just get a beer and I'll think about it.
Okay.
Oh, hon, do you have anything smaller? We can't change this yet. Thanks. Why'd you do that?
No, you get the smaller bills while they're sober. When they get drunk, they won't know what they gave you. You can supplement your tips.
You mean give them the wrong change?
No, say they're donating to your college funds.
Yeah, but that's stealing.
Funny. Hey, chick.
Out of Chris's room.
You are such a little...
Annie, get back here!
You want everyone to think you're Mr. Studs, don't you? You don't care about my feelings.
I had to tell them!
You did not!
Excuse me, it's truth or dare. That's how you play the game. Of course I had to tell them. What's wrong with you? Totally unstable!
You think it makes me want you more? Do you have to rub my nose in it?
Are you out of your goddamn mind, you raving lunatic?
It makes you disgusting, you stupid troll!
Laura in the club with her coat on serves two beers.
Sal, it's 11:30.
Oh, wait a second, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, but if I miss the 11:50, then I can't get home.
Give me the money. People show a little appreciation. You try to be a nice guy, and nobody appreciates anything you do for them anymore. You know, you're $40 short.
What? That's impossible.
You want to take it up with Victor? I don't think that's something you really want to call his attention to.
Yeah, but there must be some mistake.
All right. He should be here soon.
Dora takes the money her boss put on the table, screws up her face, and leaves in a huff.
Thank you.
Grand Central Station at 10 p.m. Dora dodges people as she runs through a crowd to make her train.
Wait! No!
She runs down the ramp and bangs on the train as it takes takes off without her. In the dark hallway of his dorm, Paul sleeps on the stairs, fully clothed, with his head resting on his books. He stirs and rubs his neck as he gets up.
Sometimes I feel like I am drunk behind the wheel of possibility.
Paul is now
however it may roll, give it a spin, see if you can somehow back to him. You know there's always more than one way to say exactly what you mean to say. Was I out of my head or was I out of my mind? How could I have ever been so blind? It was hard to find. Don't matter what I say, only what I do. I never mean to do bad things to you. So quiet, but I finally woke up. If you're sad, then it's time you spoke up to.
In Grand Central Station, the brass clock in the information booth reads 4 a.m. The building is deserted except for Cora, fast asleep on the floor. Still in the same position, back against the information booth.
Was I out of my head or was I out of my mind? How could I have ever been so blind?
Chris and Adam in the dorm.
Oh, dude. I got this girl's phone number last night. Guess what she's got?
Herpes?
No, genius. She's got a pierced tongue.
I mean, she's gay, you know.
What are you talking about?
It adds to their sensual pleasure.
No, it's for my sensual pleasure.
No, it is not. Let's ask Dr. Drew.
Okay, we got Chris on the phone here from Seattle. He wants to know which sex prefers a pierced tongue more.
I don't get it.
Paul groans at the mess in the bathroom.
Come on, guys. I just washed all these towels.
Well, speaking of which, Paul, next time don't use so much starch.
He hangs the towels up and stands at the sink.
Hey, has anybody seen my toothbrush?
You can't find it? You better find that thing, man. This thing can cost up to $250.
Yeah, and yours had such a nice handle, man.
Paul finds his toothbrush in the trash with a used condom wrapped around it. He throws it back in disgust. Dora walks into a building at NYU.
Well, you still don't qualify for financial aid. Why don't you try student placement?
But those jobs pay only $5 or $6 an hour, and I make three times as much at the bar, but I can't pay the tuition unless I work more hours, and I can't do that because I have to travel back home.
Look, what can I tell you? Not everybody who's accepted can actually attend this school. Why don't you try to get yourself emancipated?
Okay, thank you.
Dora walks out of the subway station at City Hall and enters a building. She sits talking to a young man who is eating his lunch while interviewing her. Dora looks away as he eats.
Oh, where are your parents' tax returns?
I don't have them.
Well, how can you prove that they're not claiming you as an exemption?
Well, they kind of are, but if I get emancipated and I get financial aid, then I'm sure they'll stop.
All right. Who's your attorney?
What, attorney against my parents?
The interviewer sighs. He coughs food across the desk onto Dora.
Are you saying that it's uncontested?
Yeah.
Then you're going to need W-2s, rent stubs, proof of residence, power and water bills.
I don't have a residence.
Well, you can't get emancipated to live on the street.
But I can't apply for work study unless I get emancipated.
Then you're going to have to get an apartment.
But all my money goes to tuition.
Then you'll just have to make more money.
Now on the street, Chris, Noah, and Adam.
We have to resolve this Paul issue.
That guy's totally mean.
We gave it our best shot. I say we get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, and look at him and look at us. I mean, the guy can't possibly feel like he belongs.
Right. I mean, if he was with his own kind, he'd feel more comfortable and better about himself.
It would be best all around.
Really, I mean, I try to get along with everybody, but that guy's got no personality.
And he reflects poorly on us with the ladies.
Paul at a soda stand.
Would you happen to take student meal vouchers?
No.
He pays with cash and goes to his dorm carrying a six-pack of soda. Paul is wearing his fleece-lined aviator hat. As he approaches his room, there's a sign on the door reading, Meeting in Commons Room. A dorm leader heads the meeting.
Okay, Paul. Apparently you've caused some problems for your roommates, so let's see if I can't resolve the situation. Now, what are your complaints with Paul?
Adam.
Well, it's not that I don't like Paul as a person. He's a very fun-loving guy. But we've sort of divided up our chores for the week, and he's always too busy or has some excuse, and we wind up doing his.
How much you know?
Well, he says derogatory things about other ethnic groups. And even though I believe in freedom of speech, you know, it's like, you know, the way smoke is air pollution. I feel that racial slurs are a form of hearing pollution.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to sound girly about any of this, but I think that all of us have taken an exception to Paul's personal hygiene.
Yeah.
How about Paul makes more of an effort? We'll meet again after a grace period and see how it's going.
You know, I don't know if I could do that. I love making racial slurs, and I hate doing chores, and Sindor Plumbing is just way too confusing for me, so, hey, that's who I am, and if they can't deal with it, then I'd rather live alone.
Paul looks at the dorm leader.
Okay. I'll file this with housing and see if we can't get you moved, but in the meantime, better start packing.
The dorm leader leaves, then Adam, Noah, and Chris leave. Paul sits, looking at each one as he passes by. Outside, at a village animal hospital, Paul, laden with suitcases, enters a brownstone. A vet shows him around.
You from the veterinary school?
No.
No, then why'd they pick you?
Well, there's a housing shortage, and I'm on the list for another dorm, but since I'm not a paying customer, I'm sure I'm a low priority.
Oh, that's okay,
I'm
baby.
Sorry.
It's all right. Did the mean man hurt you? It's okay. Give me kisses. Yes, don't worry.
She shoots Paul a look.
It's all right, baby. These are the operating rooms. But don't ever go in there. They're sterile. All you have to do is change their poopy papers, give them their medications listed here, and if any of the animals have an emergency, you gotta page the vet. And this here is your room. You got your hot plate, your bed, and the refrigerator, but that is for employees only. Oh, you'll get used to the smell.
Hey, can I get some help over here? Let's hold her down. Okay.
Oh, meow, meow, shut up.
I could use your help on a tooth cleaning as well.
You are, do something with her, okay? Thanks.
She hands Paul a cat.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Boy, do I hear you.
In the local pub.
Dora, Vicky wants to see you. It's okay. It'll be okay.
Dora goes to Victor's table.
I don't think this is working up.
What? Why not?
See this last night? Kitty Station 1200, Angel Station 1400, your station 600.
Yeah, but I'm in the back. I mean, there's always less people back there.
You're not getting it. What do you do if a customer talks to you?
I listen and act interested.
No. You say something flirty, then walk away. So if they want to talk to you, they got to buy more drinks.
Okay, I'll try and do better.
Oh, forget it. I don't know if you're too smart or too stupid, but it ain't happening. It's a shame. They made some real money. Come on, take this and get out of here.
Please just let me finish tonight. I really need the tips.
Victor, she's working her way through college.
Did I ask you? Come on, take it. Last week. Take it.
Dora, visibly upset, grabs the money and leaves. Now in a beauty salon, Chris, Adam, and Noah.
Man, our TG party was a total bust. Every time I got close to hitting it with one of those new mamas, her evil girlfriend's got to show up and screw everything up.
What we need is a higher female-to-male ratio, like in cool nightclubs, you know, where they let in five times as many women as men.
How are we going to get five times as many women to show up?
We have a party, but we call it a fundraiser.
Now outside.
So we got to think of a charity.
It's got to be the right charity. It's got to attract pop.
Yeah.
What's that country with all the babies?
China.
Romania.
No, but wait. I don't know about babies. No, I mean, that's going to give them the wrong message.
How about AIDS?
Oh, there's a mood setter.
about a suicide hotline.
Yeah, but do they need a fundraiser? I mean, all they have is phones.
Are you sure?
Hey, backpacks!
Whoa, what's going on?
Inspections for drugs and alcohol.
What?
Since when?
O'Brien from the 8th floor is in a coma.
So?
So the board instigated some new policies.
That is whack.
What, can they even do this?
I'm calling my father's lawyer. Our parents pay a lot of money for us to enjoy our college experience.
Yeah.
Chris sets off an alarm. Now, Alcott's classroom.
I don't know how to make this any easier for you. It's character evaluation. It's not unlike one of those VH1 legend shows, except you're discussing a fictional character instead of a coked-out singer. Do we understand this? How about this? Dismissed. Ah, yes.
Mr. Alcott?
Yes.
Paul's paper reads B minus trite. He approaches Alcott. Dora is beside him.
Do you have to ask him something?
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
Professor Alcott?
Yes.
Hi, I'm on a Regents scholarship, and I have to maintain a 3.5 average, which I can do with two A's and a B+, because there's one B I think I'll get in physics, but I can't get less than a B because I only have one A left to balance it. And the thing is, sir, my roommates, they never really let me have any quiet study time, and now I've had to move, and I'm in a...
You know, I have this kind of crazy philosophy that your grades should represent your grasp of the material and not your negotiating skills, which are amazing.
No, I'm sorry, sir, I would never ask for a grade that you didn't think was fair. It's just that since I have 20 credits and I only need 16, I was wondering if I could take this class pass-fail so I don't get kicked out. And, sir, I promise, I wouldn't slack off. In fact, I'd work doubly hard.
Well, listen, I'm ecstatic to hear your plans to work doubly hard because...
Lit 100 courses are never given pass-fail. Just doesn't work. So why don't you take all that non-slacking energy and try and apply it, focus it towards your finals, okay?
Yes, sir.
Alcott turns to Dora.
That was very nice.
Oh, well, I'm a mean son of a bitch. When's your next class?
Not till 6.
I'm off at 4.
Okay, but can we discuss something that I want to ask you about in a non-emotional way? It's just...
Dora, seriously, how am I supposed to teach a course on camera when you're wearing this sweater? Or I think we may have to take it off. Do you think 4 o'clock, 9 o'clock? I could be wrong, but I think so. And I'm sorry you feel that way about the French, but it is kind of a course on European literature, so can't ignore the whole country, you know?
Students enter his classroom. Dora giggles. Chris rides a cart into the laundromat.
Polly! Can I help you something here?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you just kick me out of our room for wetting your bed or something?
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Noah didn't talk to you about this?
Look, Chris, what do you want?
You really thought that we were kicking you out? Oh, come on! You're my asshole buddy! Like, since O'Brien died...
What?
O'Brien, on the 8th floor, he died. So they've instituted this new policy where they're, like, doing grocery inspections to make sure there's no alcohol coming in, and they're doing spot checks to make sure there's, like, one guest per person. Just because one guy can't monitor his buzz, all of us gotta suffer. Which is why Adam came up with this great idea that one of us has to get an off-campus residence. Noah didn't explain any of this to you at all.
No, he didn't. And look, maybe I'm the world's biggest cynic, but I'm finding all of this very, very hard to believe.
Paul, why would I play you, dude?
Why? Why? I don't know why. Why would you reset my alarm clock so I'd be late for class? Why would you hide all of my clothes and fill the drawers with
styrofoam?
Yeah, why did you glue together every page of my psych book?
You know how long that took? Oh, hey, I thought you were gonna laugh, man. That's just stuff that we do to each other. Huh. Look, Paul. All I wanted is for you to feel like you were part of the group, man. I mean, seriously. You remember all those talks we had about how nobody liked you and what you could do? I was just trying to help you get in with us. I was tired of seeing you sitting around by yourself, man. Come on. So look, can we have like a trial run get-together tonight? Paul, I guarantee you. You will tap some fine hide.
Well, actually, I have these Everclear tickets for tonight, and I was going to ask a girl, so...
Smooth.
As Chris helps to fold Paul's clothes, he finds a lacy green bra.
Hey. This is Annie's.
Oh, no. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea where that came from.
Paul?
What?
Are you hitting my bitch?
No! I'm not hitting your bitch! I've never hit your bitch, nor would I ever hit your bitch.
I'm just playing with you.
Because, you know,
no,
right?
I mean, I would... No, I knew it was there. I put it there. Look, I gotta go, okay? Dust.
Dora now caught in his bed, kissing.
God. Every part of me is satisfied. Even my teeth are relaxed.
He jumps up.
I'm late. I got a 7 o'clock workshop. What time is it?
Wait, you said we'd have time to discuss something.
Well, yeah, I'm listening.
Well, I got fired from my job, and I'm not going to have enough money for next semester's tuition.
Oh, God, what are we going to do?
Well, I figured that if I get a job on the graveyard shift, then I'd be earning money instead of commuting, and I could, you know, maybe just crash here
in the afternoon.
Well, wait, I mean, not even in the bed. I could just sleep on the couch.
No. I don't want to go there.
Go where?
That domestic place. I don't want to have your grunge gothic wear lying around in my closet or those blackhead strips in the bathroom, posters up of Axl Rose.
Axl Rose?
Whatever adolescent icon. Listen, you know how these things sour when people get too close? You get tired of each other. I don't want that ever to happen to us. You know why? Because I love you too much.
You love me so much you'd rather have me sleep on the street or drop out of school.
Well, I love the sweet, where are my notes? My sweet, sexy, smart girl that I have fun with. If I wanted all this teen angst, I'd watch reruns of my so-called life.
You know, I'd do anything to make you happy. I type your papers, I grade your
tests. I've always told you not to do that unless you want to, thank you.
You know, you're right. Just because I'm giving doesn't mean that I can expect a man to lift a finger for me.
You know, I'm sure if she were alive, Dora, Betty Friedan would applaud your little epiphany.
Oh, yeah? Well, if Kafka were alive, he'd say, stop misinterpreting my novels, you pretentious bonehead!
Dora enters the school cafeteria and stands looking at the jobs bulletin while she drinks honey from the tiny complimentary containers served with tea. Who is studying while eating his lunch, looks up, sees Dora, packs up his things, and walks over to her.
Hey again.
Hi.
I eat here, like, every night. I've never seen you come in.
You eat in the student center every night? I mean, there's, like, 20 restaurants on every block.
Yeah, I don't know New York that well.
Well, you should do some exploring. It's the best city in the universe. I'll see ya.
Where are you going?
Job interview.
I'll walk you.
Okay.
Okay.
Now outside.
You know, I don't see why Alcott wouldn't let you go pass fail.
Well, rules are rules, right? What can he do? Say, do you know this group, Everclear?
Are you kidding? They're my favorite.
They are?
Yeah, I love self-loathing complaint rock you can dance to.
Do you want to see them tonight? Because I've got 2 tickets I came across.
Shut up! But you know, I got these 3 interviews. But there's an opening act, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an opening act.
Can I meet you there at 9:30?
9:30. 9:30 would be great. Yeah. But here, you know what? Why don't you take one, and if your interviews, you know, they go long.
Yeah, I can meet you inside.
You can meet me inside,
yeah.
Right.
Thanks.
Now, don't go scalping that.
Okay. Hey, why didn't you ask me? I mean, you hardly know me.
Well, sure I do. I know you're smart. You care when people bang up their knees. You don't waste money on food when you can get free honey. You're cute. You take a train from somewhere, right? The number 6, I know that.
All right, I'll meet you there.
Paul.
I'm Dora. I'll see you, Paul.
Yeah, I'll see you, Dora. Dust!
A smile brightens Paul's face as Dora walks away, and he jumps high up in the air with a whoop. In the vet's hospital, Paul tends the animals. Chris, Adam, and Noah hang out.
When did O'Brien die?
After you left. First, they changed the dorm code, and
then we got our idea, which we thought Noah told you.
My bad. I feel awful. I never got to know him better.
Yeah, that would have saved him.
I mean, it's like I'll never forget how weird it felt when I just happened to be looking out of the window and I see this body go by.
I thought he was in a coma.
He fell into a coma.
Hey, come check out my lighting design. Huh? Look at this.
Hey? Chris has lights strung all over the vet's lab.
Oh, yeah. Lighting changes the party decor entirely.
Pretty extravagant.
Yeah, well, women expect you to set the mood. I mean, we're not in high school anymore. What about in here?
Oh, no. That's the operating room, not in there.
Hey, I'm gonna go grab a slice. You wanna come?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Let's go, buddy.
Oh,
come on.
That's for the animals. You don't need flea medication, do you?
Oh, I don't know, man. He has slept with a lot of dogs. Come on.
Out on the street, Dora fills out an application form, then enters the store to apply. Adam is at the counter.
What's this?
It's an application for the night shift job.
Where do you get this?
From the guy who was just here.
Night shift is dangerous. We can't have girls.
Man, it's the third time that's happened to me. Why don't you just say so in your ad?
He should not have given you.
You know, I don't know if that's even legal.
Actually, it's not. It's in violation of sexual discrimination laws. Call next week.
Yeah, right.
Adam grabs the six packs and follows Dora out.
Hey, thanks for trying to help out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just disgusting the way women get treated.
Yeah, I just wish they didn't waste my time.
Hey, do you have plans tonight? There's this great fundraiser. It's blowing off the hook.
I have a date, but it doesn't start for 45 minutes.
Well, come drop by. You know, it's for a good cause, homeless animal shelter.
Yeah, I don't really have any funds to donate. Well,
it's okay. Just, you know, come in out of the cold until your date.
Okay. But only if I can help you carry that.
At the vets.
Yes! What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Wow. You look amazing. I like this very much. It's very nice.
Come on in. Chris greets the guests.
How you been?
What a turnout, huh? I don't know how I'm going to find my date.
Now, at the Everclear concert, Paul sees a table of T-shirts for sale.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
I'll take a T-shirt.
Great.
You know what? I'll take two.
Okay. Thanks, up.
It's just you drink it up. You look a little dehydrated. It's good. It's got juices and cranberry. Do you know cranberry juice is good for your urinary tract?
What time is it?
Oh, it's early. So, which do you like better, yellow or Chex?
Why?
Because I want to know which kind of cab to call when we're done.
Dude, come here.
Adam talks to Chris.
You gotta help me. Lisa is all prime, but her helpful friend, Fat Rita, will take her home unless she gets some action, too.
Okay, first of all, I'm way too wasted to be operating heavy machinery. Second of all, I got this little spinner all G'd out. She's liquid.
Leave her on the back burner. Take one for the team.
You owe me one.
Yes, count on it.
Now at the concert, Paul finds a seat and sits down, then puts his coat on the chair next to him. The room is alive with teenagers waiting for the concert to begin. Paul takes out a T-shirt and places it over his coat. He extends his arm, pretending it's around the
door.
Paul grins.
Oh, what is it? Your head?
No, it's my stomach.
Here, this will settle it.
What is it?
It's for your tummy. Here, you drink it real fast. That'll help.
Dora drinks it and gags. Yeah.
give me your number, we go, okay? Give me your number.
White lights flashing by. At the concert, people wave lit candles as they wait for Everclear to come on stage. Paul looks around for Dora as the concert begins, and the crowd jumps to its feet and roars. Paul continues to turn and look for Dora. Liquor bottles are strewn all over the animal hospital entrance steps, and Paul picks them up as he returns from the concert.
Real nice.
A note on the door reads, "Don't worry, we'll clean tomorrow." As Paul enters, he shakes his head, throws out some bottles, then walks over to a black and white dog.
Taxi, here. How'd you get out of your cage, huh?
When he turns the lights on, he stands staring. The room is covered with the remains of a party. Animals are out of their cages, and food is strewn everywhere.
All right, Bryce, come on, Bryce.
Paul gathers the animals, then takes the surgeon's utensils and puts them in the sterilizer. The refuse off of the tables. In the bathroom, he empties cups into the sink, turns, and sees a woman passed out over the toilet.
Hey. Come on, party's over. Let's go. Hey. Dora? Perfect. Hey, Dora, come on, wake up. Wake up. I don't believe in sleeping together the first date, okay? Especially when you didn't show up for it. Come on.
Dora doesn't respond.
Dora? Hey. Come on, Dora, wake up. Please? Wake up. All right, I got you. Come on. Let's go.
In the hospital.
What's her name?
Dora Diamond.
How long has she been unconscious?
I don't know. I just found her like that.
Do you know what drug she's ingested?
All I found was beer cans.
Are you a relative?
No. When I got home, she was like that. Some friends had a party.
Nice party.
Paul sits in the hospital waiting room next to a policeman with a perp handcuffed to him.
Home bald sucks.
They say it comes from your mother.
My mother's got hair, you know.
Yeah, of course she does. Is she okay?
She's stable. We pumped her stomach just to be sure. If she took Rohypnol, she'll be out for another 8 hours. Now, the problem is, on her student emergency card, she has Professor Alcott as her next of kin. You wouldn't happen to know where her parents are or if she's insured?
No, I don't know. Did you call Professor Alcott?
He doesn't know her, and we can't keep her here.
Well, I can take her. I'm her boyfriend.
I thought you just found her like this.
Well, yeah, I did. And boy, was I angry.
Okay. Just fill this prescription.
Great.
In Paul's room at the vet's, he sleeps in an upright position with his back against the wall. Dora lies on the bed next to him, fast asleep, holding his hand. Her other hand clasps his arm. Paul awakens and tries to disengage himself from Dora's grasp. He gently pries her fingers open, gets up, and opens the door. Chris barges in.
Hey, man of my word of what?
Hey, what the heck went on here?
I just came by to help you clean up.
Oh, and I suppose you don't have any idea about Dora?
No, who is that?
The girl who almost had an OD in the bathroom.
She almost OD'd?
Yeah. I came home, I found her passed out, and I took her to the hospital.
Shut up! All right, where is she?
Hey, man, what kind of drugs were you giving out here?
Drugs? Man, all we had was beer. Yeah, no
one... You can't pass out from beer.
Yes, you can, if you take something before you drink it. Her?
What do you mean, oh, her?
Adam found her at a liquor store looking for a party, and the last time I saw her, she was all over Noah, so God only knows what she took before she got here.
It's impossible.
Why is that impossible, man? You know these bridge and tunnel girls. I mean, they sleep around to avoid the commute.
Well, we were going to the concert. She never showed up.
Oh, man. I'm going to help you out with this, okay, dude? All right. We're going to do this again next Friday. And I'm going to hook you up with a nice girl, the kind of girl that you deserve. Now, what are we going to do with her?
She just has to sleep it off, rest a couple of days.
Okay, what about her parents?
I don't know. She put Professor Alcott as her in case of emergency person.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm gonna get out of here. And, you'll call me if you need anything.
Yeah, sure.
As Chris leaves, Paul looks over at Dora, who is fast asleep on his mattress. He sits down in a chair next to her, wipes his face with his hands, and settles into the chair. A street in Soho, Adam, Chris, and Noah.
Hey, Einstein, you can't sleep while you tan. Look at you, you're all burnt.
The tan is underneath, man. I have many layers.
So what's this genius plan you've devised?
Oh, okay, listen to this. We figure out which class we're doing worst in, and we drop it. Then we transfer into European Lit 101, but it has to be Professor Alcott's class. That way we dump a D and transplant it with an A.
And why is Alcott suddenly giving us all A's?
Yeah, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
At the vets, Paul tends right. The animals.
Hey, quiet, you guys.
Hi.
Oh, good morning.
How long have I been asleep?
Since Friday night.
Oh, my God. I've been in your bed and everything.
Oh, it's no problem. Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Are you on any special medication?
No.
Did you have a lot to drink?
No. I was at a convenience store applying for the night shift job, and there was this guy there, and he told me about this fundraiser that he was having, and he brought me back here, and I drank some juice. I don't really remember much after that. You know, I think somebody slipped me a roofie or something.
Paul looks down and shakes his head.
Boy, I have got to stop trusting people. You want some lunch? Yeah, you do. You haven't eaten in days. I'm starving. I ate this morning. What do you say?
Hey, when you took me to the hospital, did they call anybody to come get me?
No. They said you were okay to go home and rest a couple of days and drink plenty of liquids. Oh, and you need to take these.
Charcoal?
Mm-hmm. So I can start a fire in your heart. All right, that'll be ready in just a minute. You just lie back and veg, as you young people say. And I will read the plague so we don't fall behind in lit class. You know, I don't know about you, but I really need a B plus in Alcott's class.
Uh-oh, Alcott hates neediness. You know how old he is? He's only 34 and he's been a full professor for almost 10 years. He was the youngest in the history of the university.
Is that going to be on the final?
Look, I'm sorry. I should have told you that he was my boyfriend.
We've been together all semester. I just wish they would have called him instead of causing you all this trouble.
Oh, no, hey, it's, it's no trouble. I enjoy having you here.
Yeah, but I've been asleep.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a good thing I'm easily amused, right?
Why are you so nice?
At school.
Hey, buddy.
Yo, 420 later.
Yo, gonna see you Friday, right? All right.
Paul enters Alcott's classroom.
Professor Alcott, I need to talk to you about Dora.
I cut you the same deal as I cut the others.
Sir, the thing is, she's at my place, and she had her stomach pumped because she was given some drugs, and she's been really sick all weekend, and her file, it lists you as her in case of emergency
Look,
person.
Look,
Paul.
Paul. Miss Diamond has kind of like this schoolgirl crush on me. You know how they can build these entire relationships up in their head. It's great of you to be so concerned.
Sir, I don't think you understand.
No, I understand. Okay, I understand. I get it. It's fine. We'll work it out. Okay?
Alcott walks away.
Sir.
In the subway, Paul sits with a bouquet of yellow daisies across his lap. He pens a note reading, Dora. Love, Alcott. Using Alcott's grade comment on his paper as a sample of his writing. Dora assists the vet as Paul enters.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks, Dora. I can finish up.
Good girl. Oh, come here. I've got to say something.
Dora grabs Paul's arm and walks him to his bedroom.
So what do you think?
I like it. Kind of institutional yet post-Victorian. Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, wait, look.
She goes to a cage.
She's pregnant. We've got to let her out. She doesn't want to have him in here.
Yeah, she might run away, though.
But look at her. She's really unhappy. She's got to find a safe spot.
Okay, sure.
Sure, sweetie. Oh, there you go.
Hey, I found these on your desk.
Dora smiles at the yellow daisies.
Oh, my God.
She reads the card.
It's almost not like him. I mean, I know he loves me, but he's never committed to paper before. Oh. How can I ever thank you?
Dora plants a kiss on Paul's cheek.
For what?
For saving my life. For taking care of me. You've been amazing.
Wait, where are you going?
I'm gonna go home. I feel much better now, and I've got to start looking for a job, and I'm sure you want to get a good night's sleep in your own bed.
No. No, I mean, if you stay tonight, you can get an early start tomorrow.
Well, but I don't even have any clean clothes.
Actually, I was just about to do a wash. We can both wear my extra fashionable laundry clothes.
What is this? Oh.
Mid-90s hip-hop for the heartland. My mother was trying to help me be cooler, so she went to Sears, where they take the guesswork out of exposing underpants.
Well, if this is all you have, then I think we better do a wash.
Yeah, I'll change in there.
As Paul takes off his shirt in the bathroom, Dora...
Oh, sorry.
Hey,
I was just looking for another bag to put
yeah,
the laundry
another, sure,
in.
You know what? Sure,
yeah,
I'll get you.
Okay, thanks.
I'll get you a bag.
Outside, Paul and Dora over here a cell
phone.
Well, you didn't get it from me. Come on.
What are you talking about?
Is it burning and itchy?
Burning and itchy? What's going to happen?
Well, is there a discharge?
Oh. Isn't it gross what people talk about on cell phones?
Yeah, you'd think they'd be embarrassed to have private conversations in front of strangers, you know?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yep. And I hate everyone in there because they can get the garbage CD. And I hate all the people in there because they can just eat whatever they want to eat. And I hate anyone who has time to study.
Oh. You hate a lot of people.
I'm a rotten, nasty little person.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Not having any money isn't ennobling. It makes you mean.
Oh, yeah, I get it. That's why all the really nice people are rich.
So who do you hate?
No one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I could be more like you. So how come you always wear that hat?
Because something like 90% of your body heat escapes through your head.
But... you're not particularly attached to it, are you?
No, not really. Why?
Come on.
What?
They go to Wall Street Fund at NYU to try out.
You belong to someone though, right?
No one who needs him more than you.
Howdy, Miss Dora.
Oh, wait. Here, try this.
Takes off the cowboy hat and tries on a gray fedora.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
should I leave this one here?
No, leave it in the park for a homeless person.
Okay.
Now, at the vet's.
After you.
Thank you.
Honey, I'm home.
So who are you talking to?
The dogs.
What about the kitties?
Kitties, I'm home.
Crouch down over a kitten's fetus.
Oh, it's moving. It's alive. Come on, we have to hurry. Here, put it on the heating pad.
Oh.
And get some gloves, okay?
Laura puts the tiny fetus down.
We can't let it pick up our scent. Otherwise, the mother will reject it. So, I need to carefully cut it out of its membrane. What I need you to do.
Okay. Ready.
Okay.
Hold.
Oh, God, be careful.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, don't poke it.
Don't worry. Hold that.
Okay.
For me, right like that, okay?
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to cut the membrane.
Oh, be careful.
And we're going to get this little guy out, okay?
Oh, watch the head.
Yep. Watching it. Okay.
Oh, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it back.
All right, almost there. I'm almost there.
All right.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm just going to cut right underneath there. And okay. Here we go.
Wow.
Here it comes.
Look at the head. It's so cute. Okay. Is it alive?
Oh, yeah, it's alive. Oh. Let's go.
Paul introduces the mother cat to its baby.
Let's see.
Come on. Now what?
All right, well, I'll just keep it warm and we'll try again in a few minutes.
You know, I always wanted a kitty, but my mom was allergic.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to have pets in my building, but my girlfriend Janet, she had a Siamese.
You have a girlfriend?
Ex-girlfriend. We dated in high school.
Do you still see her?
No. She lost some weight over the summer, so she's dating a lot more now. You know how it goes. I guess it sounds pretty lame to someone in a love affair. A relationship, whatever it is.
I don't even know what it is. I mean, he thinks that I'm too young or something, so he doesn't want to have a relationship. But then he says things like how he feels we're the same person inside, and if he was female, he'd be me.
But he said he didn't want to be in a relationship with you.
Yeah, and that he'd always love me.
And he said he didn't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, so?
Well, sometimes when someone's telling you something, they're trying to tell you something.
Right. Like men know it's good for them. Should we try again?
Yeah. Let's see.
Now the cat licks her kitten.
She's licking it.
Told you.
So what do we do now?
Well, why don't you go get some sleep, and I'll stay here and make sure that she doesn't toss him out.
Dora leans over and gives Paul a hug and a kiss. He smiles. Dora rides the subway to a job interview holding a classified hat.
You really need models of all sizes? Because I'm only 5'4".
That's not a problem.
I don't have a portfolio.
That's okay, because we're going to take your pictures free of charge.
What? I don't get paid for the pictures?
Honey, this is an agency. We're going to send the pictures out and hopefully somebody will bite.
Dora looks around at a model posing in her underwear and leaves. Now on the street.
Hi, I'm calling for the Gal Friday job.
Job's taken.
Using a public phone, Dora pursues jobs using her marked up classified section.
Hey, I'm calling about the ad for healthy girls with good SAT scores.
Uh-huh.
Is this for some sort of drug trial?
End. What is the foremost principle of banking?
Paul in class.
Remembering your secret PIN number.
Forgive me if I reserve my chuckles for when I grade your final.
At the classroom door, Dora knocks and signals to Paul to come out. He does.
Guess what?
What?
I'm not going to have to leave school. I'm going to have enough money. I got the best job.
Doing what?
Harvesting eggs.
In New York?
What?
You're going to be a farmer?
No. I grow baby eggs, and at the end of my cycle, they operate and take them out and give them to infertile couples. And all I have to do is get a shot every day. I'm going to have enough money for tuition and time to study, and I'm going to get my mom a dishwasher.
What kind of shots?
Oh, I don't know, like hormones and girly stuff. Let's celebrate, okay?
Oh, I only have $30.
Don't worry, it's on me. Come on.
Oh, wait, I'm a student member. You can come anytime. It's always warm. There's artsy films, and the paintings rock.
Thank you.
You know, it'd be really fun if we pretend that we're really rich and we can have one painting from each room.
Okay.
In a museum, Dora hurries over to an impressionist painting of three puppies eating.
That one.
Aw, puppies.
They're cute. Uh-huh. This one.
Then Rousseau's Peaceable Kingdom. And into the Van Gogh room, where they stop in front of Starry Night.
That. Ooh, this one.
That? That's chick art.
Well, then I suppose you like this one.
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. I mean, what guy wouldn't like a plate of breasts?
Gauguin's Tahitian Wood. To a still life of apples and pears.
Are you hungry?
I could eat.
On the street, Dora steals a French bread.
Wait, isn't that wait, but...
In a park.
Isn't this totally pleasant?
This has been the best celebration. Thank you for including me.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a Broadway play?
No, but like I said, I only have 30.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Hey.
He tosses a bit of bread in the air and catches it in his mouth.
Huh? There you go.
He tosses a piece for Dora.
Missed? Here, let's try again. Here you go.
Dora misses.
You get it?
No.
You miss?
Evening in front of a Broadway theater.
But don't they check the tickets?
No, just pretend like we were out here for a smoke. It'll be fine. Come on.
As the crowd re-enters the theater from intermission, Dora and Paul enter with them.
$30. Can't believe we didn't spend 1 cent.
Do you know why?
Why?
The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free.
Hey, no, don't you get whimsical on me. What happened to the nasty girl who hates everyone, huh?
I don't know. I have fun with you.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Now, at the vet, the cat and her litter.
Look at how good he looks.
I know. He's so happy. He's just resting with his brothers and sisters.
You know, we ought to start thinking about preschool.
Oh, what time is it? I want to take the 11:50.
Hey, why don't you stay another night? You know, I'll get a video and a pizza. Better than waiting on the train platform, right? We'll just chill in.
You mean chill out?
Either one. Your choice.
Yeah, okay.
You call your mom, I'll go get the video and the pizza. Don't you go anywhere.
I really don't think it gets any better than this. Forever's while I'm a gorgeous strawberry. He waves goodbye. Never guessed it got this good. At the video store, Paul looks at Rickles and approaches the desk carrying two videos.
Hello? Excuse me?
What's up?
Hi. Okay, of these two, Which would be good for me and you know, if I was watching alone with a girl.
Yeah,
there you go. When Harry Met Sally, could you maintain a rod and watch Billy Crystal at the same time?
Paul screws up his face.
Nah, don't feel bad. No one can. The piano. I don't know. Full frontal on Harvey Keitel.
Not good.
No, that dude's 90% wiener.
Really?
Yeah, even on the small screen, that's gonna hurt you. Here's your winner. Simon Birch. About a little goofy kid with problems. Can't go wrong, you look like a stud.
And, this is sexy, good for the girl.
Yeah, works for me.
Now Paul is at a florist shop, buying a bouquet of yellow daisies. He pays and hurries down.
Thank you.
Paul, carrying the pizza, sodas, flowers, and a video, arrives at the fence.
Honey, I'm home. It's so much better saying that to an actual person.
Hey, do you think people said it before TV?
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Professor Alcott.
This has been the best day of my life. Edward asked me to stay over. It's gonna be so amazing. Isn't that great?
Wow, well, he must really respect you. Did he, know that you were in the hospital?
Well, I guess, I mean, he did get me those flowers. And it's a relief because the pressure's off. I mean, with me taking these fertility drugs, it really gives me the financial freedom so I won't be, you know, annoyingly needy. I may actually turn out to be one of those lucky people.
What lucky people?
Well, you know how there are couples that stay together just because they feel like they can't do any better? Or there are people who are sad and miserable and live alone. But then there's this microscopically teeny group of lucky people who get to be with the person they're madly in love with.
Dora, you ever consider being in love and leaving out the madly part?
Well, what's the fun in that?
Dora, come on.
Dora kisses Paul on the cheek.
Take care of the baby.
As Dora leaves, Paul watches her, then stares into space. Out on the street, Paul walks alone with his head down. He walks to a fountain where other students are talking. An aerial view shows the NYU campus in Washington Square and the archway. Paul sits on the wall surrounding the fountain as pedestrians pass. Pennies gleam in the fountain's water. A homeless man approaches him.
Lots of change, man.
Paul puts change in his cup. As Paul wanders around the library, his face suddenly lights up. Across the aisle, he sees a woman who looks like Dora. But as he slowly approaches her, she turns and his smile fades. It is someone else. At the computer section, Paul sits before a computer. The screen reads, risk factors, fertility drugs for women. He studies the screen. Now Dora and Alcott in the classroom, and Paul sitting in the classroom with other students.
Hey. You sat so far away yesterday.
I thought you hate cell phones.
Oh, it's digital. Edward got it for me. I miss you guys.
Hmm?
You know, Taxi and Roxy and Penny and the baby. Is he eating solids yet?
Kitten chow. Oh, I printed this up for you. It's about those fertility drugs. It seems the hormones that make you produce more eggs also make cancer cells grow faster, so you should probably take a look at it.
You looked this up for me?
No, well, I came across it when I was doing some research, so I thought.
Do you like Monty Python? The film school is having a series, and... Oh. Hello?
I think I'm gonna do a dessert with that.
Yeah.
Like a biscotti.
With nuts?
Yeah,
okay, I'll be right back.
Great, hurry.
Okay, bye. So anyway, I was thinking of going, and if you're free...
Oh, no, I really don't have any time. If I let my grades fall, I'm
I'm out of here, and I didn't get much work done last week, so...
I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's not your fault. I just, I'm under a lot of pressure, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, if you change your mind...
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, bye.
Bye.
Dora leaves, and Paul looks after her, then down. At night in Alcott's apartment, Dora in a teddy stands in the light, sewing. Alcott watches with a smile on his face.
Isn't it totally great how comfortable this is? I mean, I have this feeling of bliss just sitting here sewing. Do you feel it too? What made you change your mind about me being here?
Dora, can we turn down the intensity just a notch? I was just thinking how beautiful you looked while you were being quiet.
Oh, okay.
All right, what did you want to say?
I was just wondering what made you change your mind about me being here.
Well, I figured as long as I was going to suffer the consequences, I may as well have you here doing some mending.
Suffer what consequences?
As you probably know, I'm listed as your next of kin on your medical records.
I know, I wanted to talk to you about that.
I don't want to discuss it. Your little fraternity buddies would like to spread the word now of a student-professor affair complete with date rape medication and stomach pumps. Would you make up a tea?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But I was drugged.
Oh, it's fine. They've agreed to keep silent in exchange for A's in literature. Plunge the tea bag 4 to 6 times, remove it, and squeeze in a half a lemon, please. And 2.5 teaspoons of sugar.
But Paul had nothing to do with it, right?
Paul, Adam, Chris, Noah, they're all my little honor students. Bet they couldn't get through a copy of Rolling Stone between the four of them.
Here.
Oh, not in a mug. That needs to be in a cup with a saucer. Please.
So they all came to you together and blackmailed you?
Hun, I'm reading now.
Now, Dora on the street. Adam and Chris approach.
Dora! Hey, Dora!
Oh, hold up!
Wait. You know, you've been kind of an inspiration to us.
What?
Yeah, so we got this killer scheme we wanted to get you in on.
It was Chris's idea.
Yeah, but it would really help us if we could get a girl.
What are you talking about?
Okay, look. This spring, when we're planning our programs, we want to target professors that are single, lonely, you know, for us women, for you men, so you have more choices. And you know the drill after that.
But once they're romantically interested, you start to drop hints that you're legally underage. It's genius.
Meanwhile, we all get fake IDs, except instead of being 21, we're only 17.
You see where we're going with this?
Imagine how high your GPA will be.
Look, all you have to do is coordinate your schedule with us.
You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bobby.
Hey! Okay, see, there you go again. Those books, man. What is that?
Studying?
Good one, man. Oh, don't forget about Friday.
Oh, what's the matter? You didn't raise enough money at your last fundraiser?
Funny you should mention it. We barely made enough to cover the beer, but I got it in check, brother. Scored some rope. See, normally chicks can drink like 6-7 cans, and they don't even feel it. But these bad boys won... And, careful. Thanks, dude. So Friday. Right.
As Noah leaves, Paul pulls the packet of pills out of his jacket sleeve and studies them. Now, Paul in a pharmacy.
Can I help you?
Yes, hi. I'm looking for white pills that come in a pop-out package.
We have this aspirin that's in a bubble pack.
Right. These have writing on them, though I'm looking for pills without the writing.
There's this.
The package reads Ginkgo.
What do they do?
Pretty much nothing.
Any harmful side effects?
Might make you a bit smarter.
Now, Chris, Adam, and Noah in their room.
Oh, my God. Are you guys taking psych?
Yeah.
Did you ever look in the book?
No.
Look at this retard.
God. Dude, what's cracking?
Dude, I left some books in the closet. You mind if I get them?
Oh, you kidding? Of course not. You want a beer or anything?
Yo, Paul, you ever heard of autism?
Hey, are we still on for the shelter on Friday?
I heard they might be painting the place on Friday. I'll have to find out.
See what you can do, man, because otherwise we're up creek.
Okay.
Help us out, Paul. It costs a lot to rent a bar.
Yeah.
Paul changes their pills for ginkgo pills.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Don't be a stranger now, buddy, okay?
Ed, without pants.
Ew, put your pants on. Cover that up. On your own
pencil.
Ladies. Ladies, there's no need to argue. There's plenty for everyone now. We can just line up in an orderly fashion.
Hey, that looks like a penis, but smaller.
Don't knock it till you tried it.
The bouncer.
You got 2 minutes to cover it or lose it.
Adam and Chris arrive.
Oh, you think? I would have said it more blows.
Look at Kelly and Gwen. I slipped them some rope an hour ago.
I gave one to Shelly, and look at that.
Hey, maybe girls are developing an immunity, you know, like the way pesticides don't work on a lot of bugs anymore. And look how ant these chicks are.
Great. If this doesn't work, we're going to have to rely on our charm.
Chris and Noah in their room with the pills.
Man, that stuff you got us was totally useless.
Yeah, well, you still owe me $150.
Oh, I don't think so.
The stuff I had in writing on the package.
What are you talking about?
This isn't them.
Someone snagged our rope?
Who knows where I keep my stash?
Their eyes widen.
Paul.
Deke.
Alcott's office.
Hi, Paul Tanek to see Professor Alcott.
He's in a meeting, so why don't you have a seat?
Great, thank you.
Paul sits. Alcott comes out and closes his door.
Peter.
Paul.
Yeah.
Should we go inside?
No, I don't know. Can I do it?
Well, Dora left these, and I'm not sure if she's supposed to take any more.
Goodbye, Professor Alcott.
Thanks for helping, Christy.
A beautiful female student leaves Alcott's office.
Let's talk in here.
So, how is Miss Diamond?
Oh, you know Dora. It goes a long way. She's a sweet kid, though. Keeps the place immaculate.
Well, you're lucky. She cares about you a great deal.
That's for you.
What is this?
Final exam.
The final's a take-home test?
For you it is. Oh, come on, that's the deal that I worked out with Chris, okay? I gotta have something to substantiate an A. What's the matter?
Well, I wasn't aware of a deal.
Well, then I guess it's a good thing you dropped by.
Well, sir, if it's all the same, I'd rather not.
Are you planning on saying anything to the dean?
No.
You're going to tell Dora about Kristen?
No, I'm not.
I don't understand.
Well, maybe I just don't like the idea of being bought.
You could lose your scholarship.
Yeah, I guess I could, huh?
Is this like a moral stand? Is that what you're doing? Because I got to tell you, I don't think that's very smart.
You know what? I really don't give a what you think.
Paul storms out of Alcott's office and slams his door.
What the hell are you doing?
What?
You know what I'm talking about. You stole over $200 of our medication.
Are you referring to the illegal drugs you disperse at parties?
What are you talking about? What, are you going to turn into a narc on us?
No. Well, I want to be like the cool guys. The guys who get their daddies to pay for college and then never go to class. The guys who only hit on girls when they're unconscious.
Yeah, because all the girls want to get with you when they're straight, huh? Oh, wait, what am I talking about? You're with that Dora girl.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, there's no velvet rope at Club Door. I mean, any asshole can get in.
Paul slugs Chris, then throws him into a bookcase. Now Alcott and Dora in bed in his apartment.
Oh, great news.
What?
I know how it vexes you that we never do anything together, so I'm taking you up to my parents for Thanksgiving.
You told your parents about me?
Yeah. Well, I told them that my girlfriend's out of town and I'm taking up my teaching assistant. But it'll be great.
Dora's smile fades. Now Paul at a payphone.
Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey there, college boy. What's the matter? You sound a little blue.
How's New York?
Seems like this whole city is one big orgy. And if you actually care about anyone, you're just some kind of chump.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Which clears?
It's the one on 8th Street.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Dora sees Paul.
Sounds like things are a little rocky with you and Dora.
No, it's not like that, Dad. I don't even think she knew I liked her that way. It was just so much fun having her around, you know? I don't know. Maybe I should come home. I don't think I belong here.
Oh, man, at your age, you're going to get your heart broken no matter what city you live in.
Yeah, I guess. I just miss her.
Dora overhears Paul's conversation. Now street traffic and Alcott and Dora in a clothing store.
God, it's all so expensive.
What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. Thomas Paine.
Hey, why don't I just make something to wear?
Oh, that's... maybe. Help, please.
I mean, if they think I'm just your teaching assistant, why don't I go as myself?
Dora, it's my parents. I can't even go as myself.
That looks fabulous on... I'll start a room for you. I feel funny about you buying me an outfit.
Consider it a loan till you're a wealthy woman. The clothes, the haircut.
The haircut?
I made an appointment at Bliss. Just do a little shaping thing.
He flicks her hair.
Okay. Thanks. Oh, thanks for the flowers.
What flowers?
The yellow flowers. You know, when I got my stomach.
Don't mention it.
Those just came in.
Please. Thank you. Great.
Let's get started.
Okay.
Alcott holds a tie up to his neck and look at.
Ovviamente frequenta la palestra.
Grazie. Di dove?
Di Roma.
Ah, bello.
Sì, lo è.
Beautiful there, huh?
Sì.
Dora comes out in an ill-fitting outfit.
Dora, we're going to a dinner, not a fox hunt. La deve scusare.
Maybe I just shouldn't go with you.
It's fine. I'll take you to Calvin Klein. Maybe they'll be a little more borough-friendly.
Buona scelta.
Yeah. Hey, I had a real scare today.
What happened?
Dean Hackelman gave me sort of a knowing look, said he wanted to talk to me. I was afraid Paul had informed on us.
Why Paul?
Well, as you know, my so-called special students got to take the final home. Basically carte blanche just to get an A, and he said he wanted nothing to do with it.
I thought Paul and his friends were blackmailing you.
That's just it. Apparently he wasn't in on it. It was just the other guys. He even gave me a discourse on how he can't be bought.
So what grade did you give him?
A B.
Why didn't you give him a B plus?
It was a B paper.
Yeah, but his scholarship.
Yeah, listen, he wanted that whole fairness thing, not me.
As Dora waits for Alcott to be fitted, she sees flashbacks of Paul. Smiling at her. Popping bread into his mouth. And presenting her with the bouquet of yellow daisies. She smiles to herself as Alcott looks at himself in the mirror from all angles.
Yes.
I know where I belong. Nothing's gonna happen.
Now in the subway, Dora smiles as she rides.
Hi. Come on in.
I just came by to warn you that Alcott was giving you a B.
Yeah, I kind of knew that was going to happen, so I dropped this class. But I can take an extra credit and keep my average up, so.
Great. You cut your hair.
Yeah, I did. Gotta keep up with the times, right? I was kind of going for that George Clooney, my face is too cute to hide behind my hair kind of look, you know?
Looks good.
What's with the pizza?
Oh, I realized that we never actually got around to watching that video that you rented, so I got another one, and I figured I might as well get a pizza just in case you were hungry.
Look, Dora. Okay, I can't just go around watching movies and eating pizza with you. Not that I don't want to, it's just that there's other stuff. And I know you're thinking, well, but what about our stuff? And you're right, I miss it a lot, but I know that Professor Alcott is your boyfriend. And to tell you the truth, I really don't like him. Not that has anything to do with how I feel about you, except that it...
Dora puts down her parcels and walks over to Paul.
Oh, it, It has a lot to do with how I feel about you. So that's why I can't have any pizza.
Paul, his hands on his hips, looks away.
Maybe I should try that again.
Paul, he's not my boyfriend anymore.
But I thought you want to be one of those lucky people.
I do. Don't you?
Look, Dora, you can't waltz in here with your videos and looking all cute and unless you mean it.
Dora kisses Paul on the mouth, then backs away.
What was that?
A kiss?
You called that a kiss?
Paul pulls Dora to him by the back of her neck and embraces her. He kisses her. Dora returns his embrace. Professor Alcott is serving 3 to 5 years for having an affair with a 17-year-old.